Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
Hey, Pastor Mike and Justin, we have the great privilege to have Pastor Nathan Thomason of Outreach Baptist Church in Smithville, Tennessee. I had the privilege to meet Pastor Nathan a few years ago, and we've been able to become really good friends and grateful for his ministry, his influence on my life. I love to talk to him, you know, off the record and on the record sometimes, and he's just a great blessing and ministers to me, and how he does life with the Lord, and the way he leads his family, the way he leads his church has been encouraging. So, Nathan, welcome. Glad you could join us today.
I appreciate you guys having me and excited to be here.
Amen.
It is good to have you on, Nathan. I haven't met you yet in person. I'm seeing your face for the first time, but Keith talks a lot about you. I don't know if he talks about me to you as much as he does to you, about you to me, but if you're a good friend of Keith's and Justin's, you're a good friend of mine, brother. So it is good to have you on today.
Well, same here, brother. And I'm excited about this partnership and getting to know you. I've heard great things, and it's always good just to team up with other brothers.
All good things. Is that what you've heard?
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
Sir. Before the Lord.
Me too. All good things for sure.
Well, what I want to do today is talk to two pastors that are leading on the front line, so to speak, and your respective communities and just the family and the church in itself, and even your own personal walk with the Lord and ministry. And I'm sure we'll interact all the way through this, but there's a few questions we want to just kind of lead out with and let the Lord take us through this. And I think, you know, as we discuss, you know, just what's happening in ministry to men and ministry through men, how you've experienced that over the life of your own personal engagement with God and how that's been helpful for you, and also what you're doing to invest in men. And I know both of you have pretty strong ministries there, and you're learning a lot. And then just like we learn here, you know, some things are effective for a season, and some things you got to make an adjustment. And I think as we do that through walking with God and His leadership, I know He's going to lead us in the right path. But we're going to jump right in here real quick, and I want to get both of you to answer this perspective. But from your experience as you minister to men, and as you've done it, you know, within the last few years, even over the life of your ministry, what are some barriers that get in the way that prevent men from fully growing in their faith and serving in the local church? What gets in the way of a man who maybe come to know Christ and, you know, doesn't really get started? Or maybe you guys can speak to some of the challenges that get in the way of his walk and his investment in the church.
Well, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is, and I know you said maybe he's come to Christ, but one of the issues that I've encountered in our churches is just lostness, a lot of false conversions. There's a lot of guys who think that they're saved, but they really don't know Christ. They walked an aisle. They prayed with a pastor. They attend nominally. They're still beholden to sin. There's not a lot of life change. And one of the difficulties we're running into, you can't disciple a lost man.
That's right.
And so, you know, understanding first of all that guy knows Jesus, and then you know, getting guys to spend the time they need in their own personal study. My dad is a pastor, and he's my pastor, and he taught me this early on in ministry. And I heard even Pastor Jeff a couple weeks ago reference Mark chapter 3, where Jesus calls his disciples, and the Bible says in verse 14, he appointed the 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal disease, to cast out demons. And so, you know, we want to raise up a men's group that has power and they're active and they win the community. And we don't understand the disconnect. It's because, you know, they may look like they're on fire at a table, but they're not spending time with Jesus personally. Right. And so I think if we can get guys to spend time with the Lord and take that personal approach, you know, following Pastor Johnny for years, just his emphasis on spending time with Jesus personally, that early time in the morning, that quiet time, that revolutionized my life. You know, and I think if we can introduce guys to that, it'll break down some of those barriers. Because we're trying to get them to follow a Jesus that they don't know.
Amen. Mike, what do you think, brother? What do you think about some of the barriers you see? Not just that, but maybe some other things that come up and get in the way.
Yeah, that's good, Nathan. I'm glad you brought that up. My dad's also my pastor. He always has been, and still living and still serving in the local church. And I count that as a blessing. He personally discipled me. I always say part of my growth in Christ is that I saw what was modeled in a pulpit was also modeled in a home. Amen. And that spoke directly to me. And I'm glad you talked about the heart issues behind that. And so I'll take it at a different angle. So assuming that a man knows the Lord, he's saved, and then he's spending that daily quiet time, there's no substitute for that, right? Who you are in private is who you are indeed. So let's just assume, for the sake of the question, that men know Christ and then men are spending daily time with the Lord. You know, the question is what prevents them from growing and then serving in the church. I'd come at it from the other side of that. Two things on that. One is there's not enough older men training younger men. And there's not enough discipleship, personal discipleship happening. I see a lot of men, especially younger men, who are craving growth, who want to know what it means to have a godly marriage, who want to raise their kids in church, want to raise their kids to know and trust Christ. They just don't have much model form. They're not the Titus II concept of older men training younger men. And Keith, we talked about this, and it's not hitting on a sore subject per se. It's just the fact that there's a lot of older men don't see the need to pour in the younger men anymore. And so I see that as a barrier for them fully growing, you know, because Titus 2 talks about how to train those younger men to be men as well. So there's not a lot of personal discipleship happening anymore. I'm meeting with a 20 something year old, and every week trying to pour into him. I forget that I'm twice his age now, but I'm trying to model for him what hopefully he will replicate one day as well. And I think the second half of that question is what prevents him from serving in the church. My experience, I don't know about yours, Nathan, but my experience in growing up in church and then pastoring churches, we don't really give men anything to do anymore. Yeah. We don't really give them outlets to serve in the church. If you don't have women in the church, older, younger women, you don't have a church, right? You gotta have both women, children, men. They all make up healthy churches. Healthy families make healthy churches, but it's confiscated by women. They're serving. You look at our children's program on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's 99.9% women. You look at the behind the scenes stuff. It's 99.9% women. I tell people all the time, if it wasn't for the women, most churches would shut down. So I think what prevents them from growing, serving grows. Jesus said greatness comes through serving, right? And I think what prevents them from growing and serving in the church is we don't get, men want something to do, and we don't give them any opportunities to serve anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's why when you try to. I think the approach that we try to take is not only the platform time of instruction and inspiration from God's word as somebody teaches that up front, but also the roundtable discussion. So you can discover some of the barriers with a person you may sit with at your table who's lost, and you can pick up on that as a table leader. And then at the same time, as a seasoned man who has walked with God over the years and as walking in a right relationship with God and his family and his church, he's able to pour into another, you know, brother who wants to grow. And that's a place of service. And, I think the work of the church is not the same as a disciple maker in the church. So I think being able to clarify some of what those roles look like can really help us in our ministry to men and help others. But
and Nathan, I like your response to this. So Keith, you mentioned the table groups, and I'm sitting at every Wednesday with a bunch of men. And I find sometimes a barrier as well. And I like your input on this, Nathan and Keith and Justin. Sometimes their barrier to grow and move forward is just their past or hindrance on that. There's a lot of baggage they're bringing to the table. I counseled a young couple last night, and there was some guilt there of them saying, well, you got 20 years of church attendance on me, you know, because it just haven't. And that guilt of, well, you've been doing this so long and I haven't, and I got some catching up to do. And that's that guilt and condemnation that's not from the Lord. So do y'all ever find it like men, because they haven't stepped up, They haven't led their families, that their past is kind of hindering them from moving forward.
Absolutely. We do a lot of jail ministry. And if you want a good laboratory to see how men really are, you go into the jails and you sit down at tables with those guys. And that's their number one excuse is, you know, my past, I can't do this. And, you know, we're pastors, we're preachers. We know the theological answer to that. You know, you don't have to do it. Jesus will do it through you, all that kind of stuff. But to make that a reality for them is challenging. It is a barrier. Even with the Apostle Paul, he, you know, remembered what he did to Stephen. He remembered, he carried that with him throughout even his ministry as the greatest Christian that ever lived. So if the greatest Christian ever lived struggled with his past, how much more undiscipled men are struggling with their past? And we got to be able to be ready to present to them, you know, hey, that's under the blood, man. And and also leading them to repentance. You know, some guys are struggling with their past. It's still their present. And, you know, and I think these table groups does a great job of uncovering that because they hear the stories of six or seven other guys that are going through the same thing they are. Be it what y'all talked about on the last podcast I listened to this morning, you know, sexual purity or, you know, addiction or whatever it may be, the dad wound, all that kind of stuff. So in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And I think it can help guys get past that. But definitely, to Pastor Mike's point, a man's past, he and I being PKs, you know, growing up like we did, that's one reason that I've got a multitude of table leaders that come from different backgrounds because I can't speak into that. My dad was not abusive. My mom was great. True. My marriage is strong. And so having that a variety of men that's walked through those things is a great tool.
Yeah. Amen.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those five-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you, we want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ. You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.